You probably know that in the Gospel of Matthew, in the infancy stories, there are these five short descriptions about the events surrounding the birth of Jesus. The birth of Jesus, the visit of the Magi, the escape into Egypt, the massacre of the innocents, and then the move back to Nazareth. Each of the five stories ends with something along the lines of, this happened in order to fulfill what the Lord had spoken through the prophet. Or in this way, the words spoken through the prophets were to be fulfilled. So, for example, the two stories that we have tonight conclude with, I called my son out of Egypt, and then he will be called a Nazarene. Now, what is interesting is that nowhere in the Old Testament scriptures as we have them is that prophecy actually uttered. The place, the town of Nazareth, is nowhere mentioned in the whole of the Hebrew scriptures. And so scholars are in this puzzle as to what it is that Matthew is actually referring to when he says that these words spoken through the prophets were fulfilled by Joseph and Mary and Jesus moving to the town of Nazareth. Perhaps one explanation, the least confusing of the explanations, is that there's a prophecy that has gone missing from our scriptures, that there was a prophecy that hasn't been included in the Christian canon or the Hebrew canon of the scriptures, and so has been lost to posterity. We don't really know what's going on. But what is important is that Matthew understands and wants to see in the events, particularly in the ministry and the person of Joseph and all that he has done with Mary in the birth and the early days of the person of Jesus, that everything has been fulfilled. This sense of all of history coming to its point of culmination, including even the terrible treatment of this heinous dictator, Herod the Great. So that brings us then to the ministry and example of Joseph. You probably also know that in the scriptures, in the New Testament, Joseph doesn't utter a single word. He remains completely silent. And yet, there's enough that is mentioned to at least be able to form something of an idea of who Joseph really is and the kind of person that he is. When we first meet Joseph, the first thing that we're told about him is that he is a righteous man of God. Now, that's already deeply significant. Someone who espouses justice, who longs for the breaking into the kingdom of God. And how does he act upon this? Well, we're told he discovers that Mary, his beloved betrothed, is with child, and she is conceived not through him. So, knowing the way that the law was in those days and the penalty for someone who conceived outside of wedlock, that there was death by stoning, Joseph tries to find a way through this mess and tries to find a solution that is open to Mary and a way that will protect the woman that he loves. First, he thinks about divorcing her informally, but then we're told that because of his openness to the will of God, because of his prayerfulness and his knowledge of the scriptures and his constant returning to the scriptures, that he's open to this word of God that is received in a dream. So often we hear that Joseph hears this in a dream, that the angel of the Lord appeared to him in this way. And so what does Joseph do? He responds and reacts to the word of God that he hears from the angel. And so takes Mary as his wife and adopts the child that she has conceived as his own. And so he becomes that example of someone who doesn't just hear the word of God in an abstract way, but concretely acts upon the word of God, concretely begins to live that word of God. We see that again and again in the ministry of Joseph, that when we're told that there's something that threatens either Jesus or Mary or both, that Joseph immediately reacts and responds to that. He takes them away from Bethlehem down to Egypt. Once he discovers that it's safe to return to the Holy Land, he brings the family back from Egypt. But when he discovers that another horrible ruler has become the leader in Judea, he goes not to Judea, but further north into Nazareth and settles in this town of Nazareth, unknown to us until this point. So Joseph, we see in this, is a man of action, a man who longs to be faithful to the will and covenant of God, a man who is inspired to be the true protector of his wife and his child. Even though he's not the natural father, he becomes, in many ways, the true father of Jesus. He becomes a model then for many men across the centuries, many people across the centuries who have acted in this way to bring people into faith, to bring them into the protection of the Lord, to act in the strength that they have been given to be able to provide that protection. As many of the popes have reminded us over the centuries, Joseph's role is not just for those two particular individuals, but it's been extended to the whole church. And Joseph becomes then the universal protector of the whole of the church. And so he becomes an inspiration for us. Joseph then is a model for us. And indeed, as we pray for the gift of a holy family, as we pray and intercede for our own families on this feast day today, let's be inspired by the example of Joseph, the man of faith, the righteous man, the man who acts, the man who ponders the word of God, the man who is able and prepared to act upon the word of God. Let's allow that to be an inspiration and a source of courage for us as we continue to decide to act upon that in our own way in the year ahead. Let's pray that the Lord will place those people in our lives that we can inspire and influence as adopted fathers, perhaps, or us to be able to show that inspiration, to be able to guide and protect others. Let's be grateful and thankful to all the people that He has already placed in our lives who have done that in our own lives, who have called us deeper into that relationship with Jesus. Let's allow the Lord to really continue to call us as disciples to be those faithful people, open to the word of God, to act upon the word of God, to be people who are defenders, protectors of our families, of those, of all those things that are important to us. And let's pray that the Lord will give us many opportunities in the year ahead to continue to act upon this. Amen.